It is all-out war in the nation of Syria. That's what the United Nations is saying after months of an anti-government uprising and its brutal suppression by the regime of Bashar al-Assad. The UN has tried to implement a ceasefire, monitor the combatants, investigate atrocities, and convince the Syrian regime to stop killing its own citizens. It has accomplished none of those goals. Its monitors are simply observers of bloodshed, its diplomats ignored, its reports horrible but sketchy and relying on indirect accounts, including the disturbing report of children being used as human shields, which we learned about yesterday. And yesterday, the top UN peacekeeping official gave the conflict the label civil war, perhaps another generally meaningless symbol of what we already know.
We are concerned about the latest information we have that there are attack helicopters on the way from Russia to Syria, which will escalate the conflict quite dramatically.
That, of course, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton speaking yesterday about reported arms shipments to Damascus, attack helicopters like the ones Saddam Hussein used against his own people 20 years ago, which caused the international community to establish a no-fly zone over Iraq. Nothing like that is even on the table now for Syria. And Russia today insisted that its arms deliveries to the Assad government were in line with international regulations and would continue. George Jaber Netto is a member of the Foreign Relations Committee of the Syrian National Council. He's also associate professor at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. He joins us now via Skype. Professor, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Also, let's welcome back Philip Gurevich, author and staff writer for The New Yorker. Welcome to you, Philip.
Thank you.
So, George, does the attack helicopter story say to you there should be a no-fly zone at the very least? Because it does seem to echo what happened 20 years ago in Iraq.
That's certainly what we've been pushing for a long time in order to avoid the situation that we seem to be getting in, which is a civil war that you refer to. Of course, what we keep hearing is that there's no such a thing as a surgical no-fly zone, and that the fear is that this will cause more human life loss. But if we look at the numbers, I think we've reached the point where this may be one of the best solution we have.
That's George Jaber Netto, a member of the Foreign Relations Committee of the Syrian National Council. Philip Gurevich, the idea of civil war here on the border of Lebanon, which had an extraordinarily long civil war that began in the 70s, do you think civil war in Syria suggests a repeat of what went on a generation ago in Lebanon?
Well, it's not exactly the same configuration, but it certainly suggests a very potentially long and drawn-out conflict, and one that, as we've seen, each incident intensifies the conflict. So that at the beginning you had President Assad basically saying, these aren't peaceful demonstrators, they're terrorists, and there was no evidence whatsoever that there was violence being used in any form. But over time, the violence of the regime provoked more and more people who were opposing the regime to employ violence. He would then say, oh, look, they're like Sunni al-Qaeda-related terrorists mixed in with these people, and it's a foreign-run war. There was no evidence of that at the beginning. After, you know, many months, one starts to see incidents that have elements of that that are not necessarily in any way related to any of the other opposition, but get into the mix. And in a way, if it becomes a civil war, that's a very rough situation for the regime, but it also puts him in a different position as not the regime violently crushing peaceful protesters simply, but also one side in a civil war. And you start hearing both sides are violating things, both sides are inflicting casualties, both sides are causing harm. And I think that that's going to make an international response more complicated and more tentative in some respects. But it'll also lead to a kind of escalation.
Philip Gurevich there pointing out one of the ironies of this designation civil war actually assisting Bashar al-Assad, casting himself as being surrounded by enemies and there being sides in the conflict. There's another extraordinary irony here, George, and that is that Syria occupied a piece of Lebanon back in the 1980s to enforce peace in that country. Do you believe, and do the Syrians that you're talking to, George, say that Syria is falling apart in the way that Lebanon fell apart?
I wouldn't characterize it that way, and I agree with Philip's assessment is that there are differences. I take some issue with the characterization at this point that it's all-blown civil war. For a civil war, you usually have you don't have the regime and the official army sponsoring the killing, and that's what we're seeing in provinces in the middle and toward the north and northwest of Syria, namely Homs, Idlib, and Latakia. What's happening there is the regime is actively involved in the combat and doing the killing themselves or surrounding cities and then letting elements on sect divide to start attacking the inhabitant or the villages. So there is an element of ethnic cleansing, if you will, which raises serious questions about what are the intentions and why is this concentrated in these areas which are dominated by Alawis. And, of course, all the dead are almost entirely Sunnis. And so from that aspect, you can call it the beginning of a civil war because it's Sunni and Alawis, but Alawis killing Sunni. Let's be clear about that. But having the regime sponsoring this, I think it takes it back to the same issue. It's a regime brutality, realizing this is a fight for democracy, and they want to do it as a self-fulfilling prophecy, like Philip said, take it to a more civil war. And of course, they will be. The more we stay like this, desperation will lead to radicalization, and that's our fear. And that's why we've been calling on interference and on the international community to unite in stopping this before it's too late and radicalization take place, which nobody wants that.
He's a member of the Syrian National Council, George Jaber Netto. He's also a professor at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Philip, you've already cautioned that comparisons are dubious here, but before we go, does this then become reminiscent of the sectarian violence in Iraq, or maybe the very slow, violent burn that took place in the Balkans that took years to resolve itself?
I think we're going to see elements of all of those things. A conflict like this starts to acquire all the characteristics of the very particulars of the country. The Alawis, you have Christian in populations in all kinds of surrounding countries that, and throughout the Middle East who identify with that and start to see them, Assad, as sort of their figure.
Uncertain and a very frightening future described by Philip Gurevich. George Jaber Netto also spoke with us. He's a member of the Syrian National Council.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.